Welcome back. Don't be alarmed by the bug in my throat. I'm wearing a surgical mask. I bought it from Michael Jackson. It's got sequins on it. It works. I'm coming down with some crud here. I'll get through it if you will. Welcome back. I'm Theronex, and welcome to On the Edge. You know, a lot of people send me books, and they say, Theron, I want you to read this book, and you must read this. It's simply amazing. You won't believe it. Read it. And that's great. Keep them coming. Even when they suck, I can always take them down to the local crack house. I trade them for food stamps and bridge cards, so please keep them coming. But more often than not, they don't suck. They're really good. And one of the books I could not put down. I could not put this book down. I couldn't stop reading it, which is rare because I have a stack of books that I keep next to a couch where I swill 55-gallon drums of coffee every morning, getting ready to come in and do this. I couldn't stop reading this book. I got through it in about, a day and a half. Usually it takes me about 3 weeks to get through a book, if I get through it at all. I've got a ton of books there with tons of bookmarks in them. But the book I'm talking about is The Liberty Intrigue, and I'm joined right now by the author of this fabulous political thriller. Welcome, Tom Grace.
Thank you for having me, Theroux.
Tom, in your book, we'll get into that in a bit here. I don't know how much you want to divulge or not divulge about it, because you want people to read it. We don't want to give it away. But you mentioned in there... You have to excuse me, as I mentioned, I've got something, don't know what, figuring it out here. But anyway, you mentioned that you were looking for editors at one point, and you couldn't find any editors that were conservatives, and two liberal progressive editors, if you will, literally told you, sorry, we can't do this. So we'd like to point you toward a conservative editor, but we can't find any. We don't know if any that exists, so take that away.
The first one came back, and he had read the book and loved it and thought it was going to appeal to a certain kind of audience, given the current political zeitgeist. But that audience was a little further to right than he was. And in the end, he just couldn't wrap his mind around the idea of the book. In his mind, he couldn't conceive of even a fictional world in which a conservative could be the hero and conservatism was a force for good.
So this guy couldn't do what you might learn in a creative writing course or even a film class, that you need a willing suspension of disbelief.
Exactly. He couldn't suspend his disbelief. He can buy into the fact that he can pick up a chunk of amber, pull out a mosquito, suck some DNA out of it, and make a dinosaur. That's totally believable, but a conservative good guy? Never could happen, not in a million years.
Folks, what we're talking about here is author Tom Grace on the phone with me here. He's written a book, and I want to talk about, I don't know how much detail you want to get into, but I saw some very, very, I want to say thinly veiled, if you will, references to some people who are politically active in the country, some radio hosts as well. And I enjoyed it. I just immensely enjoyed it. And so what you're saying is some people read that, and because the hero, the protagonist, is conservative, they thought, oh, we can't do that. There was a time in America when being conservative or being a hero was a good thing.
Yeah, but in the current market today, if you're a conservative, you've got to be the bad guy. It's always the idealistic liberal who's challenging the established order of the conservative. Well, right now the established order is liberalism today, and we're challenging that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with this program, but I beat the hell out of that pretty much daily. Now, I noticed also, before we go any further, that you mentioned that a lot of the inspiration in your book came from hanging out at Connor O'Neill's and Zingerman. You know that Ari and Paul have a conservative radar over there on a trapdoor with sharks. Did you know that? How did you get through that?
Well, Ari is unfortunately my pimento cheese crack dealer.
I know those guys. I know those guys well. They used to love me when I was on Communist Radio. I think Paul still loves me. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I love their $30 chicken dinner. It's fabulous. Anyway.
Everything there is good.
It really is. They're American exceptionalism. So let's talk about your book. How far do you want to go? Do you want to tell people what the story is about? I don't want to give it away.
Well, essentially it's a thriller that's set amid a U.S. presidential election. And it features an engineer from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan who's been out of the country for many years, and he's helped this little country in Africa get on its feet, basically, using conservative principles. And that's where we find him at the beginning of the book. There's a rematch of the Civil War that caused this country to come into an existence.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does in that moment of conflict basically puts him on the world stage and puts him on the short list of candidates capable of challenging the incumbent progressive president for the presidency of the United States. And he has to launch basically the most unconventional campaign ever waged in order to win it, because you're running against a guy who's a gifted campaigner who's going to have a $1 billion war chest and all the media and all the popular culture behind him. And that was basically the question I want to answer in the book, is how do you beat a guy with all those advantages? and I show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do it beautifully with American exceptionalism. If we could only get that message into public school.
Exactly. It's such a rare thing these days.
Now, Rush Limbaugh. Oh, I'm sorry, Gar Denby. I mean, that the case made by that broadcaster was exceptional as well. And he really comes around and sort of ties a lot of it together for the American people. You could argue that that was a minister of information. And that's what talk radio is these days. And you make an excellent point, in not in the book so much, but outside of the book, in that the media is tilted. The media is beyond biased. It's almost like we're Joseph Goebbels is running it. He's right now celebrating, spinning his grave in a positive way because of the left-wing tilt to the media.
How long could hook some wires to him or whatever and generate power off that revolution? That'd be great.
Hey, listen, I didn't want to ask you this, but I could not. I had to go back three times. I don't see where you ever really say what Ross's sense of power is. Is it fusion?
No, it's ground-sourced geothermal.
I thought that because of the giant hole, but I thought, wait a minute. You know, yeah, so he's going in and tapping into the actual... Yeah, but that's not spelled out. I wanted more physics on that because that fascinated me. I thought, this is great.
Well, I do it kind of the same way that that Ayn Rand did in her book. She didn't quite tell you other than it's static electricity that he's making
right.
You channel, but it didn't give you any physics of how to do it.
Now, you have a whole bunch of books out. How else have you run into the media bias? And you are an excellent author, by the way. Very, very good.
Well, my other novels are more straightforward thrillers. They really didn't tap too much into politics, except maybe my mm-hmm. fifth one that dealt with a conflict between China and the Vatican. So it was politics. It was outside of this country.
Yeah.
So there really wasn't a whole lot of grief. So, I mean, you know, along the lines of Vince Flynn and Brad Thor, you know, I'm a conservative writer, but I just it's a subtle element of the book, so I wasn't kind of tripping any wires there with the liberal antenna. But this one, I mean, you run into a U.S. presidential election, and in a thriller, you have to have a good guy and a bad guy, and I had to pick sides, and I picked the sides that I aligned myself
with. Yeah, and I think what you did, I mean, again, this is my opinion, but you literally laid out what's going on now. I'm sorry, but this president was Barack Hussein Obama, and the protagonist is standing against this crazy leftist swing that's happening in our country, whether you intended to do that or not, and I think you did. But that's basically what this is about, so that's why you scared the hell out of the liberals.
There was that element, although, as you notice in the book, I never name him or describe what he looks like.
You didn't have to. It's obvious.
It's the whole idea is that this book can continue to have a life after this because, you know, even if you know, Barack goes down as a one-termer this time around, his ilk are still going to be around forever, and I want people to be able to recognize, you know, when they see these same warning signs come back up again, the sort of political kudzu that they're trying to peddle to us, that we know how to whack it back.
But you make an excellent case. People, you've got to get a copy of this. It's the Liberty Intrigue. You can get it on Amazon, correct? In bookstores, too?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in some bookstores. Nicholas Bookstores has it here in town.
Yeah. Now, and part of what really got me right off the bat is here's where I read the first chapter and I thought, oh, I can't put this down. I mean, I loved when Ross starts making the case in Africa for why everything's so good when you go with freedom. Make mine freedom. I mean, if you don't read anything else out of the book, what is that chapter two or three? It's almost like you go, whoa.
Chapter three. It's when he makes his radio address to the troops.
That was like a lightning rod. You know, I thought, like, this is what I believe. This is what any American would believe. That's, I want to say, believes in the constitutionally limited republic and the power of the forefathers, what they put in place. For 5,000 years, we have been slaves. All of a sudden, the forefathers come along and they say, hey, we're going to give your freedom if you can handle it. And he makes that case.
Yeah, I mean, the point the book comes out to is that it isn't a matter of right and left. It's really more a matter of up and down.
Right.
We're, you know, through the founding fathers, we're the first people that ever climbed out of the swamp of tyranny and started climbing up the hill toward liberty.
Right.
Now, they keep talking about how we want to go back. Well, they want to take us back into the swamp. We don't want to go in the swamp. That's a bad place to be. We want to keep heading towards liberty. In order to do that, you have to emphasize the individual and not the state. When you emphasize the state, you slide back in the swamp.
Well, that's great you're making that statement. Now, I emailed you at one point. I think I CC'd you. Your promo guy said, and by the way, you need to make, it said George Clooney, even though he's a psychotic Kool-Aid drinker, he has to be Ross Egan. I take that back. It's Gary Sinise. You want Gary Sinise to play the part.
Gary Sinise would be great. Jeff Daniels out there in Chelsea, I think, could do an admirable job at it as well.
He'd do a good job.
That's sort of a UP kind of zeitgeist.
I still haven't forgiven him for taking the money to tout Jennifer Granholm's BS contention that we need green energy in the state. But, yes, he's an excellent actor. So.
Yeah,
Listen, in the future here, what's going on? Are you going to make a movie out of this book? Any nibbles on that?
No nibbles yet. I mean, it's just kind of starting out right now. Liberty Intrigue has only been out for, I think, 2 months, really. So we're sort of riding the campaign scale, and we're starting to scale things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a certain resurgence in the fall, I think, right after the conventions are over. It's going to be interesting to see how the conventions play out, because right now they're tracking pretty close to what I had in the book.
Bingo. I read this book, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he's got his finger on the pulse of all this. And this came out 2012, so this is current.
There are some things in the book, and you know, I'm not Nostradamus or anything, but one of the weirdest ones, and I'll throw this one out for your people, is I do black out a football stadium in the book.
Right.
And ironically, that happened a couple weeks before the book came out.
You mean, in
San Francisco.
Right, and you had so you wrote the book, and all of a sudden, bam, that happened.
I mean, it's like the most outlandish thing you could ever imagine, is blacking out a football stadium, and it really happened.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, the other thing I liked, I really liked Double H. I wanted to be part of his crew. I thought, damn, I want to hook up with those guys.
Those guys had a lot of fun in the book.
Yeah, well, listen, I want to thank you, Tom Grace. People, get this book, and if I may be, I'm going to take creative writing liberty here. I'm going to say this book is gooder than hell.
I appreciate that.
Well, listen, Tom Grace. Tom Grace and the Liberty Intrigue. Thanks for coming on the show, and don't be a stranger. Keep us posted on what's going on.
You're playing the blues, so, you know, since I can't play the blues and think about politics, I'll just write about it.
Okay, thank you so much. Tom Grace, ladies and gentlemen, author of Liberty Intrigue. You can pick that up, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. That's a great book. You're on the edge.